Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the chimps in the BC. It is Saturday, the 2th of May, Anno Domini 2015, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues.
No, don't kick off your shoes.
No, I'm not kicking off my shoes.
Okay.
Here comes the news.
Studio's too small.
All right. Early adopters of the Apple Watch, Apple Inc.'s first new product in 5 years, are complaining that a number of its key functions are disrupted by their tattoos or their skin color. Owners of Apple Watch, who bought the 42-millimeter version with stainless steel case and black classic buckle, have found that their inked or naturally dark skin confuses the sensors on the underside of the device. Users of the watch, which went on sale last week, took to social media on Thursday under the hashtag TattooGate to air their frustration with the flaw from Apple's renowned design house. Reporters said the device's locking mechanism, which should disengage when the watch detects it is being worn, failed to work on decorated or dark skin. A Reuters reporter who has a black tattoo on his left arm also found that the watch locks on tattooed skin and does not deliver the soft pings that alert a user to incoming messages. The heart rate readings were also significantly different on the tattooed and untattooed wrists. An Apple support article says the watch uses green LED lights paired with light-sensitive photodiodes to detect the amount of blood flowing through the wrist and calculate the frequency of heartbeats. That wavelength doesn't pass through tattoos well, and melanin also blocks that light. The darker the tattoo, or the more melanin in the skin, the less likely the Apple Watch is to work correctly. The tattoo issue follows a report in the Wall Street Journal on Wednesday that some Taptic engines, which produce the sensation of being tapped on the wrist, started to break down after time, a flaw that was slowing the rollout of the item. We've been hearing suppliers encountering some bottleneck issues for Apple Watch's production, such as problems with its displays, haptics, or assembly. Those sorts of issues are quite common for new products, so we'll see. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is tattoos, melanin, stymie the Apple Watch. And your choices are, that can't be right. Did nobody test this thing? Well, that's not good. I'm sure it'll be fixed immediately. And Apple what now? So far, we have 26 votes. About 40% of you think are asking, did nobody test this thing? And of course, I know you'll have more to say about this, pro and con. So if you head down the right-hand side of the page under Fascinating Stuff, the first choice on that list there is the forums. The second forum is the poll discussion. And the top item in the poll discussion is 2 May 15. Tattoos, melanin, stymie, the Apple Watch. Please leave your posts there, and let's try at least to keep them somewhat clean. And, of course, join us here on the show. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
I'd also read on one report that hairy arms cause a problem, too. So you can't wear a watch.
I can't wear a watch. Here's the issue, though, and this is what bothers me. Even if they have no people of color on their test teams, and even if they have no people with tattoos on their test teams, there's an engineer somewhere who specifically picked green as the laser color because red goes too deep and actually reads your bones. Yep. So that's not going to be useful. ultraviolet or blue doesn't penetrate the skin at all. So your real choices are yellow and green. Yellow gives really fuzzy readings and they're not accurate. But anybody who knows that much about lasers also knows that a green laser is blocked by melanin and tattoos. So didn't they say something?
That's the least, no, what's the word I want? The lesser of two evils. We have to use green to get a good reading, and
they could use yellow as well. Now the yellow each, won't maybe, be as yeah. good, and but if you put, now, of course, that would raise the price of the watch by a dollar. But if you're already paying $500 or $1,500 for a watch, surely they could absorb that piece of $1.
Yeah.
And then you've got two of them, and if one doesn't work, the other one will. It just, it's a terrible, terrible, and didn't anybody, anybody anywhere say, you know, this really isn't going to be good for us when it gets out?
Mm-hmm.
And it will. The first African-American who buys a watch, or the first hipster
yeah.
who buys, anybody with a tattoo, a sleeve tattoo. It's terrible. It's a horrible thing.
One of the stories I read said the, commenting on the Apple commercials, I'll look like Logan's Run. You know, these 20-year-old, yeah. you know, clean cut, mostly white people, and it works fine for them.
Yep. And it also depends on how much melanin you have in your skin. So if you're a light-skinned African-American, then it's not going to be a much of a problem. But the darker your skin, the worse it gets.
And as the summer progresses, even those of us with light skin, it will probably get darker.
Right, 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 right.
Especially, you know, your left hand, which is typically where right-handed people wear their watch. That's the arm that hangs out the car window.
That's right. Your trucker's tan.
Yeah, your driver's arm. Yeah. So that's my arm. My left arm is always tanner than my right arm.
Yeah. It's these, and people say that over the years I've really gotten down on Apple. And it's these little things
yeah.
where they do something 99% right, but that 1% is so freaking egregious that it makes me insane.
And that used to be one of Apple's strong points is
yes.
taking care of that little tiny niggly thing that no one would notice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very frustrating.
It makes me crazy. I don't get it.
Yeah, the quote was from Leander Cani in Cult of Mac. These people wearing watches look like citizens from Logan's Run. Fresh and young and perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, in the book, it was 21 they died, but in the movie, it was 30. So it's, you know.
It's because everybody they had in the movie yeah. was over 21, and some of them were over 30.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't really care how old Jenny Agutter gets. I really don't. All right, we're off to the phones. Our first caller is Wesley, who's calling from Western New York. Welcome, Wesley. What's up?
Hi. I have a problem with my Mozilla Firefox.
Uh-huh.
I quit using it because it so frequently displayed a sign of unresponsive plug-in or a unresponsive script. It seems to just about stop the whatever I'm doing.
Right.
So I downloaded and started using Chrome, and when I go online and play streaming, it's distorted. You can hear it clipping. So I downloaded Opera. That plays fine, but it's hard to use, and it seems to gum up the whole computer.
Yeah, there's kind of a catch-22 is that many websites use plugins and scripts to make fun things happen, animations and movies and video. And you need to have those plugins loaded. But because so many websites use so many different plugins, you can often have too many plugins in your browser and everything dies. So it's this horrible catch-22 that you need to run, you know, a limited number of plugins that you need for the sites you go to without having too many plugins. And the same thing with script, which usually means JavaScript. So many websites require JavaScript and don't run at all without it. But there's a lot of bad JavaScript programmers out there. So that becomes the other side of the problem, is that you can end up with scripts not responding as well.
Uh-huh.
One of the ways to help with that is to always make sure you keep the browser up to date. And especially with Firefox and Chrome, they update themselves weekly now, almost, it feels like. And every time I look at it, there's a brand new version that has come out. I think Firefox is up to version 37 now for Firefox, and I think Chrome is up to 40-something or other. So making sure your browser is up to date and making sure your plugins are up to date, or remove the plugins you don't want. One of the things that we used to like is that Mozilla had a page where you could check all your plugins, and it would tell you if your plugins were out of date. They have since limited that to only work in Firefox. It used to work in Safari and Chrome and IE, and now it only works in Firefox. So if you are using Firefox as your primary browser, you can go to Mozilla's plugin page and update your plugins.
Now,
in Firefox, there's a tools menu and add-ons. See, that's the other problem. It's called add-ons in Firefox and extensions in Safari. I think extensions in Chrome also. They call them different names, but they're things that plug into your browser to extend the functionality. And going to the latest version of the browser, and the latest versions of the plugins typically will help issues like that.
Okay. I was keeping up with it, and then Firefox apparently has dumped Google search in favor of Yahoo.
Yeah.
And I don't really care for Yahoo. I prefer Google.
Well, you can still use it.
Yeah, just type google.com to do your search. You can't. So they changed the default search browser. You can't change it back?
Mm-hmm.
So I know in Safari and Chrome, you can pick any of the search engines as your default search. But basically what that means is that Yahoo gave Mozilla a ton of money, and Google didn't counter.
Yeah. What you want to do is in Firefox, you want to you can change which search engine you want to use. So let's say you want to set a default search engine. You click on the magnifying glass, and there's a little, not on the search next to the magnifying glass, but on the magnifying glass itself, you'll get a little drop down that says change search settings.
Mm-hmm.
And then that opens up the search preferences window, and you get to choose your default search engine. It is set to Yahoo, but Google is one of the choices, as is Bing and DuckDuckGo and a couple of others.
Right.
So you can make Google your default. So
okay.
You select Google as the default, then select OK, and that closes the window and sets your changes your setting.
Okay, my main problem is the is constantly coming up with the sign that says it's got unresponsive script.
That's not on your site. That's at the other end.
Uh-huh.
So that's wherever it is you're going has an unresponsive script. That's rarely due to something on your machine. If it is, it could be that the version on your machine is bad. That sometimes happens. And if you empty out your cache, that might fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the quick checkup, I think it is, Steve, that Steve is currently posting.
No, that just checks your plugins. But emptying your history in cache is always a good thing to try when weird things are happening.
Okay.
And to clear the cache in Firefox, you do that from the... no, that's the history. Hold on a second. Let me think. If you go to the help menu and you search for Clear Cache. I don't have Firefox in front of me, so I can't lead you right to it. But if you use Clear History is the same thing, isn't it? Maybe not.
Maybe it also does cache. Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually that's two separate issues, but typically you want to clear them both at the same time.
Right. Right. So from the history menu, you can select Clear Recent History. And then from time range to clear, you select everything. And, that's it. You then go into details and you pick what it is you want to clear. And one of those choices is the cache.
Okay.
And to do that, you really select everything. And then click clear now, and then close all your browser windows and reopen the browser.
Okay. I'll try that. I really prefer using... as well as Firefox, it's much faster and more reliable than the other ones, which I don't really care for.
Right, right, right. Well, you know, it is whatever it is you prefer, and we'll try to help you make that as fast as possible.
Okay. Any idea why Chrome would produce distorted, clipped sound?
Yes, actually. The problem is the Shockwave plugin. But if you have not updated Chrome in a while, it's using an old version of the Chrome plugin.
Mm-hmm.
And that old version is not terrific.
Okay.
You can fix that, but I'll give Steve a URL to post rather than trying to tell you how to do it here on the air.
Uh-huh.
Okie doke?
Okay, very good.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, the big thing about any of these is you got to keep them as up to date as possible. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mina Francisco, and you. 21 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported. Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 26 minutes after the hour, we have Scott from Buffalo, New York on the line. Hiya, Scott, friend of the show. Scott, how are you?
Well, it's been better. I have Time Warner Cable.
Yep.
And their router. And connected to my Time Warner Cable router is
Time Machine?
Time Capsule.
Apple product.
Yeah, the Time Capsule, yeah.
Time Capsule, yes. And that's the router we use. Well, the last week, every day, the router seems to go offline. The Time Capsule goes offline. It shows that we're connected to a router, but no signal is coming through. What I have to do is I go to the router, I unplug it for 5 minutes, and I plug it back in, and everything is fine. Now, this is great, but if you have... Like us, we have our home security connected to the Time Warner via this router. We can't have that when we're gone.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
How old is the router?
2 years. This is the router from Apple. Yes.
Is it the tall skinny one or the short flat one?
A short flat one.
Short flat one. Okay. You might want to check if it's under warranty, but generally when we see that happening, it usually means that it's wearing out.
Okay.
One of the things you can try is if you go into the airport utility to edit the settings on the Time Capsule, you can reset it to factory defaults. So you might want to write down your passwords and names and things like that. Erase it, reset it back to factory defaults, and then set it up again as a new device. It kind of like refreshes the firmware in it. And if that fixes it, great. If not, it's probably wearing out. Although at 2 years, that's pretty young to be wearing out.
Is it possible? Is it? Can you upgrade the firmware in it?
You can if it needs it. And also in airport utility, you can downgrade the firmware back to a previous version.
Oh. Well, great. This is excellent. I probably will have to buy a new one, but at least I know it. Nothing I'm doing wrong, as far as I can tell.
Probably not. No. Sometimes it's just die. And it also is possible it's the Time Warner modem not passing an internet signal along, to the airport. Oh. But if when you restart just the Apple router, everything comes back?
That's right. It all comes back.
So it probably is just the Apple router then. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
There you go. Good luck.
These wireless routers and cable modems that usually sit under a desk or behind a closet or something that we forget about, and they just sit there running for years and years and years, something they need to rest every now and then.
Yep.
Doesn't make any sense, but you're gone for the weekend. Well, maybe not in his case. You're gone for the weekend. Unplug everything. Just let it rest.
Yep. I do much the same thing myself. The last time I turned it off is when they installed Greenlight. I knew it would take about an hour, and it actually took less, but I turned everything off, just left it all off when they showed up. They came in, we turned everything on, and everything worked like a top, and I like that. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jason, all the way from Altoona, PA. Hiya, Jason, what's up?
So that gentleman who first called about the browser question.
Yeah.
I didn't catch it. You might have asked him. You might not have. Did you ask him how recent his computer was?
No, and I was going to ask that, and I didn't.
The reason I ask is because I've got a fairly decent high-power AMD, top-level chip. But I've also got 14 gigs of RAM in mine, and I'm currently running Firefox 37.0.2. And I just checked with Task Manager, and I'm pulling over 700 megabytes of RAM just for Firefox right now.
And a lot of times that's because of all the plugins that people install.
Right.
And oftentimes a plugin sounds neat, you install it, and then don't use it and forget it's there.
Right. Well, I guess my question, or my point was, though, depending on how old the system was, I'm not certain because I haven't disabled all my extensions and plugins, but I'm thinking there may have been that memory. Oh, I forgot the word.
You're absolutely right.
Memory leaks.
Yep, that's exactly right. I know that one of the problems people have with Chromebooks, many of which come with 2 gigs of RAM, is they start loading it up with so many extensions, most of which they never use, that it starts taking up too much room in their machines. I have the original reference model of the Chromebook, and it's old and very slow, and I turned off all the extensions I wasn't using, really, and it's fast and easy to use because there's now more room for everything else to happen in the machine. You're absolutely right.
And also for the gentleman for the router, I don't know if there's been any concerns about the different hacks that have gone on for router software, but there's so many things out there for older routers that it may be a consideration that you may just want to get a new one because most of them don't go back and fix the firmware. So it might be better just to say write it off at this point and say, look, it's with all these hacks out there, time to get something right off the assembly line with the most up-to-date firmware.
Not a bad thought, Jason. Absolutely not. Thank you. Good thought.
Have a good day.
You too. And, of course, you might as well now upgrade. As long as you're getting a new one, you might as well upgrade to, AC now?
AC, the latest one, yep.
Yeah. And so it never hurts to get the latest of something. You know, we talk a lot about keeping old machines alive because who's got money nowadays? But when it comes to something like a router, the thing that faces the wild west of the internet,
yeah, really,
and protects your network, having the latest and greatest is not necessarily a bad thing. And if you're going to put your money somewhere, you ought to put it in something like that. Because as Jason said, there's so many hacks and bad stuff going on that we need to keep our machines as helpful, as clean as possible, and it's helpful to do that. Well, here's a news item that I think we should probably read. Facebook has faced a backlash from users who found some posts disappeared while others couldn't link to content outside the social network. The problems, which began on Thursday, followed a software update that seemed to have caused the glitch. Some users wanting to post updates containing links were mistakenly sent a warning saying they were violating the site's security policy. Facebook has apologized and said they had rolled out a fix for the bug, so you shouldn't see it anymore by today. It appears the issue is with Facebook's image scraping tool that automatically detects pictures connected with links to content within posts. So the tool is supposed to help users present links to other... You know how it is when you put in a link, it suddenly brings up the title and picture in that page? This is it. It's supposed to help you present links to other content with a photo from the site. Then the post complete with pictures appears in the friend's timeline.
Like if we put in, say, a link to the jazz show coming up.
Right, you it'll know, show the jazz logo. And Exactly. Yep. But publishers who use Facebook to promote their content were particularly vocal about the impact on their businesses. An error in our system that helps block bad links on Facebook incorrectly marks some URLs or web addresses as malicious or inappropriate. As a result, some existing posts were hidden while other posts were blocked completely, said Facebook in a statement. We've resolved the issue and the remaining affected URLs are being unblocked. We apologize for the inconvenience this has caused. So were you traumatized by the Facebook bug? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Yeah, people lost their stuff. I mean, they just went nuts.
And it must have been a lot to filter that high up in the news, too. I suppose when they have a billion users, you know, some could be 100 million.
Right. Really kind of a small percentage as such, but even so. And it's a real issue as far as, I beg your pardon, it's a real issue as far as people who spend so much of their lives on Facebook, right? Yep. I mean, I know people who spend all day on Facebook. And it becomes a serious issue for... Any of those folks, and particularly if people are using Facebook to promote their businesses.
Yeah.
And for example, you write a post that you want people to go to about your business, and you can't link to it.
Yep.
That's a real issue.
And this has happened several times over the years.
I'm
finding quite a few news items from past years where the same sort of thing happened.
Yep. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Ray from Webster, New York. Welcome, Ray. What's up?
Hi, guys. I got a Mac question.
Okay, thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Oh, no. I meant go ahead.
They still make them?
You and Rodney Dangerfield, huh?
I didn't know they still made them.
Listen.
Go ahead. Seriously, did he hang up?
The phone died.
Ray? I was kidding, Ray.
No, all of a sudden, no, the board, it just dropped him again.
Oh, Ray, call back, please. Please call back. The board dropped you. It wasn't us. I swear to you. Oh, good. Right after I tell him thanks for calling, the board drops him. I apologize, Ray. I really, truly do. It wasn't us.
I just turned and look, and the telco here...
The board,
it's been doing that lately.
The board is
it needs to be shut off
you.
And let it rest overnight.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, but the
there's
thing
only
is,
one show that uses it.
Yeah, we're the only show they ever use.
No, Ray and Alan Ray take calls regularly on their show, and of course anybody can call.
Ray from Webster, please call back, Ray.
Please call back. It was the board that dropped you, not us. I swear to you, that's what happened. Dave even still has your thing is down. Is he there?
No, he's not there right now.
Oh, now he's calling. Okay, there we go. Please, I hope that's Ray. I really hope that's Ray again. I feel bad. I actually feel terribly bad. Is it Ray?
There's Ray.
Okay, Ray, I'm so sorry. It really wasn't us, even though I was joking with you. We did not do that.
I didn't touch the board.
Anyways,
as far as you know,
to get to my little problem is I have this new iPod Touch.
Okay.
And my MacBook is running 10.6.8. And I want to get the iPod and the MacBook talking to one another, especially with iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been told that and I should go up to Lion, and that's as far as I can go on this this MacBook. That being the case, I run old software, like I'm running CS2, and I can't afford to go up. If I go to Lion, am I going to have any problems with my CS2?
Probably.
Yeah, sadly, that's true.
Yeah, because CS2 is so old. The problem is in 2006, Apple shifted from the Motorola processor to the Intel processor. And so a lot of programs written back then, including CS2, were written for the Motorola processor. So Apple had software in the system called Rosetta that would translate your instructions to run on the Intel computer. 10.6 was the last OS to have Rosetta in it. So when the 10.6...
Well, it does say Intel Core 2.
Right, but your Adobe, the CS2, requires a Motorola PowerPC. And so it won't run on an Intel computer without Rosetta. And 10.6 is the last version that had Rosetta in it. So the problem becomes you can't upgrade the system software without upgrading your Creative Suite, right. But you said you got an iPod Touch?
Yes.
That only requires iTunes 10.7 or later. So you don't have to run the current version of iTunes, which requires system 10.7. So you can get to an older version of iTunes, oldversions.com, I think is the website. Let me find that again. So, what version of iTunes do you have now? Let's try that.
Of iTunes?
Yeah.
I have no freaking idea. Hold on a second.
So if you have 10.7 or later, then...
Well, 10.6.8 is my operating.
Right, but what version of iTunes do you have? And so that may be 10.7 or later. And if you can get it's oldversion.com or oldversions.com, if you can get the older version of iTunes, it will work with your new iPod Touch without needing to upgrade the operating system.
Yeah. How the heck do I find that in my iTunes?
You can do a get info on the iTunes icon, or if you're running iTunes, you can go to the iTunes menu and choose about.
And there it tells me there's just some gray scrolling.
Yeah, and the first thing it scrolled up was the version number.
I'm going to close that and open it again.
But you can still download iTunes 10.7 from Apple's website, and fortunately it's still there. And so that will let you run your new iPod Touch on system 10.6.
But I won't be able to if I go to
if you go to system 10.7, you won't be able to run your
software
Creative Suite too, yeah. Right? Although Adobe does have some pretty good deals, you can get Photoshop and Lightroom for $10 a month, which is a pretty good deal on the newer software.
And well, mainly I use InDesign and Photoshop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're about $30 a month gives you everything, but yeah. that can be expensive.
That's
yeah.
money I don't want to spend at my age.
Yep.
Right. All right, listen, we got to take a break.
Guys.
Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 42 minutes after the hour, Soundbites member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 47 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Before we get back to the phones, one last thing about Ray. Ray, if you're still listening, and why wouldn't you be, if you go to alternative2.net, that's alternative2.net, you'll find that back older somewhere in our links. You can type in InDesign, and there are 9 free products that are very much like InDesign to do desktop publishing. Certainly, since they're free, it wouldn't hurt to download one, take a look at it, see what you think of it, And maybe you can free yourself from an ancient version of InDesign.
Right. And also with your system 10.6, you should already have iTunes 11 if you've been keeping up to date with your updates. And iTunes 11 will work fine with your new iPod Touch. So you just have to plug the USB cable in to be able to sync it to your computer.
For the first time.
For the first time. Now, if you don't care about syncing data between the computer and the iPod Touch can get to the internet by itself, so you just download whatever apps or music you want right on the iPod Touch.
Right.
You don't necessarily need to sync it to your computer.
Well, there you go. All right, our next caller is Brian from Pavilion, New York. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Peachy, you?
Oh, doing just fine, doing just fine. I've been messing around with VirtualBox a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And,
it's actually phenomenal. I was having a lot of fun with it. It was loading a program in. Did we drop?
No, you're there.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. My phone went quiet. I'm sorry. I'm trying to load in a couple of old legacy programs. There's nothing critical. I'm kind of doing this as a mind exercise. And one thing I've run into with it is my VirtualBox set up on a pretty decent machine, very healthy. VirtualBox seems to be running well. I'm having problems with it loading multiple disk programs. Like if you do the install, you'll do an install disk, and it doesn't call for the second disk, even though there's one required for the program. And again, there's nothing critical, but I just thought maybe you guys had run into that before.
Well, now you've loaded an operating system, and now you're trying to load programs in through that system? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Part of the problem is that VirtualBox is not really designed for that. And so what's happening is it doesn't treat the, how can I best put this? It doesn't treat the virtual, are you trying to do these through the real CD drive or a virtual CD drive?
No, it's a pass-through.
So you're doing a pass-through the real CD drive.
Yep.
Not sure why that wouldn't work then. Do you get any sort of error message?
No, not at all. It just doesn't, you load in the install disk and then there's a subsequent data disk or two. On any of these programs, it just doesn't queue it. It doesn't seem to call it. But the initial install goes very well, and it seems to do what it wants to, but there's no way to even trick it. It just doesn't seem to want to call that second series of disks.
Here's what I might suggest. Rip the CDs or DVDs to an ISO file.
Okay.
Put those on your machine, and then load that ISO into a virtual CD.
Okay.
Or and even multiple virtual CDs.
Mounted at once. Right, exactly. And see if it will find them that way.
Okay, cool.
That's all I can suggest.
I didn't find a lot of talk about that on Google or the net. I was surprised. It didn't seem to be much of a problem, but I thought it would be common.
I found a question dealing with DOS installation disks, and there was a workaround for saving the state and restarting the VM.
Oh, I might be able to modify that thinking a little bit, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Right. Once you've got the first one installed, at the point where it would normally ask for the second one, save the state, shut it down, go in and change the CD, and then start it up again and see if it finds that second CD. It's a thought too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah, virtual machines. It's a very amazing thing. I'm really surprised that is not more popular than it is.
You need a lot of RAM, and you need a processor that's got multiple actual processors in it, and a lot of people don't understand the concept of virtuality.
True, I wouldn't say issues with it, but it's not a simple. It's not like a point and shoot thing. You do have to work with it a little bit, and figure it out.
Although the way that the internet itself is going, that's. Almost every site you go to nowadays is running as a virtual server on something else.
Sure.
And so if you're a person looking to make yourself more saleable, shall we say, in the job market, understanding virtualization is probably a really good thing.
It's very good. It's just a lot of fun. It's a good challenge because computing has become almost too simple.
Yeah, right.
It's a great way to, just try to work with things and think about things again. It's neat.
Yep. Makes sense to me.
Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Brian.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I was playing with VirtualBox the last couple of weeks myself. I was doing some, I was writing some instructions for people, and one of them was on Fedora, and another one was on CentOS itself, and another one was on Ubuntu, which is what I'm running. Another one was on Windows 10. And so I had all of those loaded in virtual machines, which I have to admit, finally kind of maxed out my machine when I was running them all simultaneously.
Yep.
But I was running four operating systems simultaneously.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. Very neat.
And we also shouldn't forget the eminently forgettable 1995 movie Virtuosity, where a virtual serial killer escaped into the real world, starring Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe.
All righty. Thank you so much for that. All right, back.
It had a huge cast and bombed.
And it bombed. It bombed
William
bad.
Forsythe, you know, Louise Fletcher, William Fichtner, huge cast.
I love William Fichtner.
Oh, Kaley Cuoco was in it. She must have been nine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kaley Cuoco's Sweeting now.
That was
I think 25,
yeah. 20 years ago. 20 she must have been ago. Nine. Yeah. No, she must have been, what, five or six?
Well, pick her, bring up what year was this and you can figure it out. All right, back to the phones in the meantime. We're talking to Paul from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's up?
Yeah, hi. I hope we don't get caught by the break. But so here's a problem. This has been happening for a number of weeks now. In the morning, as soon as the machine is off, I mean, not off, it's just, let's say, gone to sleep overnight, okay? Then I just move the mouse, and the screen comes on, and then the disk starts to, grind away like it's very busy. And I can't do anything, for at least a few minutes. There's a little blue circle that's swirling around while the thing is getting to wake up. And this grinding keeps going on, and it really slows down the behavior of everything, all the applications, the internet. And I'm at a loss to figure out why. When I turn on Task Manager and look at the various activities that are going on, I don't see very much happening.
All right, a couple of quick questions. How much RAM do you have in your machine?
About 8 gig.
There's a part of your problem right there.
You don't think that's enough?
No, it also depends. Now let me ask my second question. When you say your machine is going to sleep, are you hibernating? Are you sleeping?
No.
Or are you just turning off the monitor?
It's just the monitor's off, that's all.
Well, you should look and check on that.
Because in the energy saver control panel.
Exactly. In the energy saver control panel, if you've never looked at it, at some point it will say after X hours... hibernate or go to sleep or something along that line.
Yeah.
What it does when it does that is it takes the entire contents of RAM, saves them to disk, shuts down the disks, and really puts the machine to sleep. What that means is when you turn it back up, when you wake it up, mm-hmm. right? The first thing it has to do is pull 8 gigs of data back into RAM.
Didn't think I was doing that, but maybe.
Well, you aren't necessarily, but if you've never looked at your power management stuff, almost all of them are set to do that on their own after a certain amount of time.
Okay. The thing is that this behavior only started maybe a month or two ago, and I don't recall changing anything at that point. So.
Well, and when was the last time you danced the security tango?
Well, I have a lot of security things going on, but I haven't danced a tango lately. I used to do it some time ago. Maybe I should start again.
It would not be a bad idea to do so, simply because what you might be looking at is you caught something that's been doing stuff in the background and is now hiding itself.
Well, I run AVG, I run Malwarebytes, I run super anti-spyware, so I'm doing quite a lot already. But maybe you're right. I should try.
It's going to take a couple hours, but it certainly isn't going to hurt.
Okay. Well, thanks for the tips. I'll give you a call back if I still have problems.
Well, let us know one way or the other. Thanks. One of the things that we tend to forget is the defaults. There are a lot of defaults in every operating system.
The tyranny of the default.
Yep, and they're good defaults. They're not bad defaults. They just may not be best for you, and so when you have something along the lines of, particularly sleep mode and things like that, it is certainly a possibility that the system itself has a default. If you leave it turned off for 8, 10, 12 hours. You'll hit that default, which you may not during a regular day, right? If it's set to go off after 8 hours, and you're playing with it all day, you're never going to hit that 8-hour limit.
No.
But overnight, you might, in which point it's now gone to sleep. It's put 8 gigs of data out on your hard drive, and it's trying to load that back in before you're allowed to do anything else. I don't care how fast your machine is. If it's not an SSD, it's going to take a while to load in 8 gigs.
Yeah.
And so during that time, it's not going to be able to do anything else really well. So it certainly never hurts. And even if it isn't saving the 8 gig, if you've told it to stop your hard drives overnight, or that's the default, that to stop the drives overnight, then it's going to want to start those back up again. Then it's going to do a test. Then it's going to load stuff back in again. Mm-hmm. All of that is going to take all that time.
It takes time. There's just no easy way around it.
Yep. One of the things we've seen on the Mac side is that new Macs default to 10 minutes to sleep.
Yep.
And we kind of say that's a concession to Greenpeace, because Greenpeace tended to picket a lot of Apple events a lot. But I can be reading a website for 10 minutes and my computer goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And especially on a laptop, but even the desktops too, the monitor will dim halfway through that. So your monitor dims in 5 minutes and then goes to sleep in 10 minutes. And that's just too fast.
Yep.
So energy saver and increase it. But then when you slide it above 10 minutes, it yells at you. Are you sure you're going to waste a lot of power? Yes, I'm sure. That's why I slid the barrel.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. You've wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but we're going to do it all over again in the next hour. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Well, take a quick refrigerator break and come on back. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. You can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415, and we'll be back with a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, we are sound bites right here on this truly great and solely member supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Mike from Webster on the line. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. We have two laptops in the house, a Toshiba and a HP. My wife is a big fan of Pogo. And it's announced up front that when she opens it up, that Chrome will no longer support Pogo. So they recommend you either go to Firefox, Mozilla, or go to System 11. So she's attempted to go to Firefox, and I did it also on mine. What happened is both the computers went ballistic. Something happened to them. They started coming on when they weren't supposed to, and so on and so forth. So I automatically assumed it had something to do with the Firefox. So I went to Control Panel and went in, and I eliminated Firefox in mine. I found it in hers, but no matter what I do, I cannot eliminate it. It won't go away. I won't what is the word you guys use?
Uninstall it.
Uninstall it, correct. Correct. So, any ideas?
Well, it's not specifically that Chrome doesn't support Pogo. It's Chrome doesn't support Java natively by default, and Pogo
right,
is Java.
Right, I was going to say that, too.
Yeah.
So, Java doesn't support them anymore.
Right,
yeah.
Right, but the problem...
Right. Well, and Electronic Arts has a workaround that will work for a while, until September.
Right.
But really, your question is why? What's up with Firefox on your wife's machine?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the first question I have to ask is, where did you get this copy of Firefox?
Offline.
But did you get it from Mozilla?
I went into Yahoo, looked for Firefox.
Yeah, okay.
It gave me about six different choices.
Yeah, you have to go to the right one. That's the problem.
Here's what I'm thinking. There are a lot of places that put malicious versions of programs like Firefox out on the
web. I've learned that the hard way also.
Oh, I think you just learned it again.
Yeah.
So my suggestion is this. In terms of Firefox, particularly if you can't even uninstall it, it's likely that it's not a real version. And so what you're going to need to do on both machines, just to make sure they're clean, is to dance the security tango.
Okay.
Hopefully that will clean this bad version of Firefox out of both machines, or at least make it visible so that you can then...
Remove it
entirely yourself.
You may need to download Revo Uninstaller to get rid of it.
Yes, but I removed it from mine. I uninstalled it from mine.
Well, still, you may have been lucky, and she was not. Right, so once you have done that, once you have got your machines clean, reboot them, of course, one final time. And then you want to go to mozilla.org, mozilla.org. That is the official website for the Mozilla Foundation, which is the people who make Firefox.
Okay.
And they can and follow that link to download Firefox.
Okay. Do you have any idea what's either one of you have any idea what's happened at Chrome and Java don't support it any longer?
Yeah. Java is, what's the word I'm looking for? Crap. And it causes horrible problems.
It's too powerful. Java is a full-blown programming language, you know, like C and everything else that we use today. And somewhere along the way, somebody got the bright idea to make it available to web browsers. So that means the bad guys have a fully programmable language that they can use on the web, which is handy because, you know, something like LibreOffice is written in Java, so it works on Mac, it works on Windows, it works on Linux, it works on anything. Because
the whole idea was write once, run anywhere.
Right. And so now the bad guys can do that, and because so many people have Java loaded on their computers, that the bad guys can write a Java program that will, you know, take over and do bad things in your computer.
And most of the good people have moved on from Java to things like HTML5 and stuff like that. And so much of the stuff that's left in Java is malicious stuff. And so if you are, and I'm not saying there's anything bad at Pogo, I don't know Pogo. I know that it's a game place. But because their stuff is all still in Java...
Which was good for them because it runs on any platform.
Right. But because it's all still in Java, and they're one of the very few sites left that really use Java, then you end up with a serious issue in terms of security.
Yeah.
And what Chrome has said is, we can't fix Java because we don't own Java, so we're just going to stop using it.
Which is ironic because there's the same sort of underlying security problems with Flash, and Chrome said, all right, we'll do Flash ourselves and make sure it's up to date all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason that we play Pogo, Nick, is because we're both older, and I mean older, and it keeps your mind fresh. You play those games. Yep. Like
I'm not saying anything bad about Pogo.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not saying anything bad about Pogo. I'm just saying
because... No, I understand.
Yeah. I'm just saying that because they still use Java, that they are being left behind.
Chrome is also dropping support for Silverlight, Facebook Video. It's the NPAPI that they're dropping, and so you have to do PPAPI, which programmers will know what I mean.
Right.
But it means that older plugins just won't work with Chrome version 42 or later.
Right.
So what does that mean as far as if it comes... What usually when my Java comes up on, it says it's time, you know, to update, and then... It says, are you willing to let us change your computer?
Right.
Is Java no longer safe to do that then? Or
well, it never was. You have to be really, really sure it's Java giving you that message and not a fake message claiming to be Java.
Yeah, because there's a lot that out there that, you know, it looks so authentic. You'd swear up and down that, it was a legit site. And, you know, but a lot of folks don't take the time to go up and actually see the URL that it's actually coming from.
Right.
We got a pop-up that said that we needed a certain kind of tool to protect our computers. And it looked like everything that had to do with Windows. I mean, I would have swore it was Windows.
And it was probably
and
fake.
Did I go through hell trying to get everything back to normal?
Yep. See, and that's part of the problem. When you have a program like Java, what you've got is a complete and total programming language that anyone over the internet can reach into your machine and use.
Right.
You can imagine the possibilities for chaos that opens up.
Unbelievable.
Well, we're just, two retirees, and I'm no expert on computers. I just took enough courses so that I could use it for what I thought I wanted to use it for. But for people like you guys who are in the business, I just cannot believe what could possibly happen. I'm a big fan of CSI Cyber, and I learn something every time I watch it, and it's just what's out there is just, some of it is just, I can't believe what they can do.
And that's what's, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that's what they show on the television shows, and every hijack they talk about is real and exists.
Right.
And we often say, well, what are the bad guys doing now? Because those are the ones the good guys know about.
Right. The white hats and the black hats. I mean, you know. I'm worried almost every day when I swipe something in a machine. I'm just, you know, and then you get something from the bank that says, have you checked your security? And then you go crazy again.
Yeah.
Right. Most of that stuff is not from your bank.
Yeah.
Right, but we check everything.
Right.
If something looks too good to be true, like from the bank, one of us will call a bank.
And we're seeing a huge increase in the number of fake messages coming on computers about fake viruses.
I get a call every other day from the same Indian gentleman who tells me that my computer is running bad and that I should get it fixed, and they're the ones to fix it.
And that's how they always start, is your computer running slow. Everybody thinks the computer's running slow.
How do you know my computer's running bad?
Yeah, because it's a computer. We know it's running slow.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Well, they just assume because you're using the internet, and the internet, depending on the time of day and that, can be extremely slow.
Yep.
That's what they're thinking that you're going to equate it to, is not if you were sitting there, say, doing your banking or typing up a letter or something like that.
Yep.
It's all in reference to the internet connection.
Yeah.
And that's where people get fooled.
I've learned from you guys most of all, and when you guys left the other station, I was just snorting mad. And then I found you guys, and I said, you know, I tell everybody, you should listen to the show. Yeah. And I like the article, Nick, too.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate
you guys
that.
Up long enough. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for your help, and just keep right on doing what you're doing, and if you need somebody to watch the door, just call me.
All right, it's a deal, and don't forget to become a member of the station.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
You got it.
One of the things we've been seeing is the bad guys are changing their tactics a little bit. Normally, when those fake messages come up to call that you have a virus, they want credit card information to bill you to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they are they're being a little sneaky. They are, you know, $300 seems to be the common price we're hearing, which is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Almost if they'd asked for less, they might trick more people. But they're giving you a subscription to their service, so you can call in anytime you want to get problems fixed. So they're technically not doing anything illegal.
That's right.
But when there's nothing wrong with your machine to begin with.
But because credit card charges can be disputed so easily by the customer. Mm-hmm. We've seen several people are now getting asked for their checking account information because it's much harder to dispute a check withdrawal.
Yeah.
You authorized this electronic withdrawal, and now you're saying it was fake. Well, no.
No way.
Right.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, though, it's a very clever tactic because, for example, I've been toying with the idea of paying for a terabyte of Google mm-hmm. Drive storage. It's $9.99 a month, $10 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculously cheap for a terabyte.
Yeah.
But then you look at it, and I just figured out, well, it's $120 a year. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
$120 is a lot of money.
You could buy a number of...
$10 a month? That's not a lot of money.
No.
Yeah.
You know, if you're paying for it by the month and just say, go ahead, take $10 out of my checking account every month,
mm-hmm.
It seems like less money.
Yeah. Well, that's what we mentioned earlier, Adobe Photoshop for $10 a month. That used to be a $700 program.
Yeah.
So you're paying for it $10 a month. It'll take you several years to make up that $700. And the nice thing about paying the subscriptions like that is you get the new versions for free automatically.
Microsoft is doing the same thing. They're going to that subscription model at live.com or...
Yep, $100 a month, and you get 5 computers and 5 tablets, which basically that's a dollar a month per device you can put it on.
Well, that's...
And you automatically get the free version, next free version. There's Office 2016 is coming out later this year for Mac. 2013 is out now for Windows, so there's probably a 2017, 2018 coming for Windows.
But I have to go back and ask, why are people paying for that stuff when they can get it free from other places
because
like Google or
that's
wherever?
What they know.
That's what they know. That's exactly
I had a customer this week that tried to switch to a free program and couldn't handle it, and it was too different, and so they had to get Microsoft Office.
I had a friend who was saying, I can't switch from Excel. I said, why not? He said, I do heat maps. I said, Google Sheets does heat maps. He said, no. I said, yeah. I showed him. He said, I'm switching tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's the one thing he does. That's where you take a spreadsheet with a lot of data in it,
mm-hmm.
and then you say, all right, I want to set up conditional formatting so that the lowest number is white and the highest number is red, and then all the numbers in between are, you know, closer to red, so that you get, it's like a heat map. You see where the heat is,
mm-hmm.
and that's where your big numbers are.
Cool.
It does that pivot sort of tables thing. Now, too. I had a customer that had to do pivot tables, and Excel was the only thing we found that did it. So now Google Sheets does.
One of the things I wanted to say in going back in our conversation is, you know, like you said, giving out your checking account number, you know, that's dangerous.
No. Yeah.
One of the things that I did, and I've done this for, it's got to be over 15 years or so, I've got one credit card through the business, and it's a limit of $500. They keep wanting to up it and up, and I keep telling them, you do, and I'm canceling it. And that's what I use for the online stuff. So if anybody gets a hold of it, they're not going to get much. And, you know, with the fraud protection in that now, it's just one that I know they can't do much. It's not linked to anything else. And I make small purchases, I pay it off.
It used to be, and I haven't looked into this in forever, it used to be they had one-time use credit card numbers.
Well, those were a little sneakier. It wasn't technically one-time use. The credit card expired at the end of the month. So it could be used as many times as the bad guy wanted until the end of the month.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 20 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. I want to read this one. I want to read this news item. In a nutshell, here's the great iPhone debate of 2015. Have sales of the larger screened phones peaked? On Tuesday, a day after Apple posted a 33% jump in quarterly earnings, its shares rose and then fell as investors questioned whether Chief Executive Tim Cook can keep iPhone sales roaring and continue to turn its revenue growth in excess of 20% per quarter. On one side is billionaire investor Carl Icahn and some analysts who argue that Apple's stock is poised to go higher, driven by a longer sales cycle for the bigger iPhone and a just-released smartwatch and other products on the horizon. Others say growth may decelerate later this year as demand for the phones trails off. Things are going exceptionally well, but investors are always two steps ahead of where their current business is, said Gene Muster, an analyst at Piper Jaffray. If investors would take these results and feel like there was some potential acceleration in the future, then they would feel great about owning it. Apple shares slipped 6% this week. This is the thing that makes me insane about the market. They published a 33% jump in quarterly earnings, and the shares dropped 6%. Optimism about Apple's future has helped drive the company's shares to record levels this year. As a follow-up to record high profit in the iPhone sales in the quarter that ended in December, Apple posted earnings for the March period that ranked as its second highest. Apple in those two quarters sold a combined 135 million iPhones, compared with 169 million in all of fiscal 2014. Consensus estimates among analysts for next year anticipate iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch unit sales are at the high end of or above what they believe is likely, which suggests expectations are meaningfully low, or new categories are needed to make up the difference. Indeed, Apple will face tough year-over-year comparisons in the next fiscal year when there won't be the same pent-up demand for Apple's first large-screen iPhones. Apple, of course, says the momentum will continue. The iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, which debuted in September, helped boost Apple's phone unit sales for the recent quarter by 40% globally and more than 70% in China, where the new large screens are especially popular. Apple estimates that only 20% of its active installed base of iPhones users has upgraded to the new device. So, has Apple hit the peak? Give us a call, 55-66-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415.
And the thing that is, though, is like I said before, we don't hear anything, you know, when that caller said, I'm working on a Mac. That's why, you know, I have to say, do they still make them? Because you don't hear about many new systems. Like you, back in the day when Steve would come in and sit there and say, well, oh, we got the new Cube or this particular one or that. It's all about the iPhones, the iWatch now.
Well, yeah. Right.
Same, but, same thing happening in the Windows and Android world, too.
Right, right. Yep. The big thing is, though, that what they're... Yeah, this is the one.
Yeah.
What they're saying is that what Apple has done for the last several years, and numbers pretty much bear this out, is they've cannibalized their own fan base. When you sell a new machine, the vast majority of those phones go to people who already own iPhones. They haven't opened new markets. That's not actually true of the iPhone 6 because the 6S, the big one, is huge in China, where there was not a lot of penetration by iPhones into the marketplace.
And especially those markets where that may be a person's only computing device.
Exactly right. But what the investors are saying is that they no longer have confidence that Apple can grow the market. They can certainly continue to sell the same product base, the same people, that essentially same machine over and over and over again, but that doesn't grow the market. And at some point, there's going to be a slowdown. And the investors are saying, we're getting out now. That's bad for Apple, by the way. The investors are saying, we might want to get out now, because we don't want to have to deal with this in the future. We want to get out when the market is high.
And one of the things that we've said is that because the Apple Watch requires an iPhone 5 or later, that it may spur people to upgrade their phones when they hadn't already. And the early sales figures showed that Apple sold more watches on day one than Android Wear has sold ever.
Right. And I'm agreeing with all of that.
Yeah, they haven't publicized it as well.
Well, but
you can't go 5 minutes on TV without seeing an Apple Watch commercial.
Right. Well, right. And that, but that to some people,
because they have $140 billion in the bank.
Yeah.
But to some people, that's a sign of desperation as well.
Yeah.
If what they're saying is we have to push this watch or no one will buy it, then there are investors who are going to say, I don't really want to be involved.
We have to push this watch because no one knows about it. Although it probably was.
Everybody
it
knows
was the
about
most pre-hyped product
you live
ever.
Under a rock.
Cheese and crackers. You have to be living under a rock on Mars.
Yeah, really.
To not know about it. And at that point, probably.
I bet Curiosity does know about it.
That's right. The Curiosity is going to pick up the rock and hand you a flyer.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with Apple or its stock or the watch. What I'm saying is the market is insane.
Apple lost $66 billion in market hype because their stock dropped a few percent, 1.8%.
Yes. And if you go and look at their stock, you will find that it did drop, you know, very little, but that's still billions of dollars.
Yeah.
In fact, if you go to Google
it's
and type in
for them.
AAPL, you'll actually see what happened. Apple went up today, but in the last 5 days, it went way down. In the last month, it did a weird thing. It's coming back up again, but it lost a significant amount of money the last week. And it's strictly because at some point somebody said, I wonder if Apple's peaked.
And I'm already hearing what's next.
Yes.
Just released it. They can't make enough watches to sell. But what's next?
But what's next? We don't care about what this is. It's the old, it's the thing from Torchwood. When Jack Harkness said, I can take her down, the president of Earth, I can take her down in 6 words.
Yeah.
And he whispered them in the guy's ear, and the guy turned white, and the president came to him and said, what did he say? And she said, isn't she starting to look old? And that's all it takes for some people to panic. And it's the same thing here. Do you think Apple has peaked?
Yep.
Holy moly! Let's get out!
Let's see what the Macalop has talked about that. The Macalop has his scathing articles about overhype and people commenting on products that don't exist, and it's a failure, and well, it's not even out yet. How do you know?
Well, that's exactly right.
So when the Macalop is the voice of sanity...
And I grant you that it is in some ways a niche product. And there are people who understand that. Most people don't wear watches anymore.
I have worn one, and
a lot of the hip young folks only will buy an Apple Watch because it's a fashion accessory, not because it's an actually useful product.
Yeah.
You know, most of them are walking around with their phones in their hands all day anyway. So this frees up your hand, but you're still walking around like this. Maybe that's worth $1,500. I don't think it is. You know, I don't think it is.
Get an old Timex.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And Macalop's latest headline, it's an inverse relationship. Because the analysts are saying the watch is doomed, it will succeed.
That's certainly likely. All of that said... If somebody wanted to give me a Motorola 360, a Moto 360, I would take it in a heartbeat. But it doesn't mean I would necessarily buy one.
One of the companies...
Android watch. What am I?
One of I think it was IHH Supply Company, that they tear apart devices. So iFixit tore apart the Apple Watch to see what was inside. Really, really tiny connectors. They ended up destroying it, taking it apart because they don't know how. So, but then this other company looks at the products that are inside and the chips and the components, and they calculated the part cost of an Apple Watch is about $100.
Yep.
Not including the $10 billion in R&D and development and shipping.
Right.
But what's interesting is
and that's only hardware. It doesn't even include software.
Right. The bands. Different colored bands weigh different amounts, which people are wondering why. The same band in a different color can weigh 2 or 3 grams different. Two or three grams, hardly anything. But then when you look at the same watch with a different band, the band adds $200 to the price.
Well, and this is the one thing I really like about most of the Android watches. They take standard bands.
Yep.
So you can go buy whatever band you want and switch it out, which you cannot do with the Apple Watch, by the way.
You can swap it with any of Apple's bands.
Yes.
So you know Apple's smart that way.
There's where the hitch and the getting along goes.
Yeah. So if you want a different watch band, you can get a different watch band. With Apple, you can only buy it from them, and you'll get the one they give you at I suspect, the premium.
Some of them come with two bands. I think the Sport comes with two.
Ooh, two plastic bands.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Because that's the cheap one.
Yep. But yeah, I can't say anything bad about the watch itself, except that I don't want one. I certainly would take any Android watch anybody wanted to give me, but I don't know that I'd buy one. And I think that there's a prevailing attitude out there about the Apple Watch as well. There are the Apple fanatics who must own everything Apple has ever made, must own it today. Whether they actually need it or want it is not important. But you're still going to pay, what, $350 for
minimum
low-end
yeah.
model, right? Or $1,500 for the high-end model.
$17,000 for the high-end.
Excuse me, I beg your pardon, I cannot wrap my head around that number for a watch.
Well, that's
gold. Get it, I get it for a Hublot or a Rolex or, gold, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, to me, these watches are all just one step up from the Casio calculator.
The Apple Care extended warranty is $1,500 on the $17,000 watch.
At that point, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah,
big deal. That's not even 10%.
The regular warranty is $49.
Okay.
Oh, geez, Louise.
Now we're going to have to start seeing people stealing the watches off people's wrists. Remember
Mugging,
how there was
yeah,
Apple picking where yep. they would take the phone out of your hand while you were talking?
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to see them start taking the phone off your the watch off your wrist. But yeah, so you can see what the market, the insanity of the market does just on a rumor. Just on
well, that's the joke. What is it? Buy on rumor and sell on news.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. Yes, it is completely likely that Apple has millions of products in the pipeline, a few of which will actually hit. Well, let's say dozens of products in the pipeline, a few of which will actually hit the market. And it is likely that each and every one of them will be a good product. The problem, and I've said this before, when Apple came out with new phones and everything else, they're evolutionary, but they're not revolutionary. And now there's a revolutionary product, the Apple Watch. They weren't the first to market, so I guess it isn't really revolutionary. But it's a new category for them.
Mm-hmm.
And now people aren't happy. How do you not be happy at that? I don't get it.
It's
I don't get any
market.
Of these people. It's the stock market, and it's insane. I keep having to remind myself the stock market is not the economy. It has never been the economy. It will never be the economy. It's just an aberrant insanity on the side of the economy. And we just have to remember it's its own entity. And
mm-hmm.
However, when that said, when you are a publicly traded company, the stock market is the only important thing to you. Honestly, Apple and Google is the same way. Everybody's the same way. They're not interested in selling computers or selling watches or selling phones. They're interested in increasing their share price. That's the entire reason these companies are in business, because it is the only thing that the people who give them money, their shareholders, care about. So at some point, you stop caring about the end user. You stop caring about the products you sell and simply start caring about how do I up my share price. And that's a sad thing, but it happens in every industry that is publicly traded. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour. Give us a call at Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
That makes me crazy. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
I know that skip.
At 44 minutes, exactly. At 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Give us a call, 966-5299. or 800-790-0415. In the meantime, we'll get off our rant on the stock market. No, it's not the watch. It's the stock market.
Yeah, that's true.
How insane. I said I'd get off that rant. All right.
Yeah, we'll no, but you're right. No,
we'll move on.
Yeah.
Here's my next favorite story of corporate greed for the week. ESPN. Sports Network ESPN has sued Verizon for an alleged breach of contract stemming from the Verizon's new custom cable plan. In a suit filed Monday in New York Supreme Court, the network said it is seeking damages related to the Verizon package, which allows Fios customers to choose a smaller bundle of television channels each month. ESPN said it sought to stop Verizon from unfairly depriving it of the benefits of its bargain. ESPN is at the forefront of embracing innovative ways to deliver high quality content and value to consumers on multiple platforms, but that must be done in compliance with our agreements. We simply ask that Verizon abide by the terms of our contracts, ESPN said in a statement. Allow me to translate. We want a cut of every single penny you take in, no exceptions. Thank you. Verizon has previously contended that the package fell within its rights. ESPN and others objected to the custom TV plan after it was announced. Verizon shares trended slightly higher during the week. So do you think ESPN should get a cut of your cable fees? Even if you never watch ESPN, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
That's been the bane for years, is that, you know, I'm paying $100 a month for television and half the channels I don't want.
Yeah.
And never watch.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I can't buy less.
Right. And people are angry about that now. And the cord cutters in particular are saying, look, if I just want CBS shows and NBC shows and ABC shows,
yep,
I can get CBS Now and ABC, whatever they're calling it, and I don't need to buy cable at all. And cable is saying, we'll make that deal for you. If that's how you want to do it, we'll help make that deal for you. And ESPN is saying, oh, hell no. Right now, I get a cut of everyone who watches.
Everyone who subscribes.
Everyone who gets cable. Whether or not they watch ESPN at all.
Because it's on the cable. And the irony is that there are so many sports channels on your standard cable package, but there's more sports channels you can pay extra for. Okay, so how about all the sports channels are separate?
Well, but that's the problem.
And that's the problem. Yeah, ESPN doesn't want. And I'm surprised ESPN's the first one to do that. They may not be, but you just may not have heard it before.
Well, I believe what they're actually saying, and legally this is correct. If ESPN actually has a contract that says we must be in every package you own,
yeah,
then they have to be in every package. You know, that's the law. That's what Verizon signed on for.
And also, ironically, ESPN has their own website where they stream a bunch of this stuff that you can pay for separately.
That's exactly right. And they don't mind the extra income.
Yeah.
They don't want to lose income.
Yep.
Because while there are a billion people who watch ESPN, there are another billion who don't. So they would essentially cut their revenue in half.
And then, you know, the other, there's a lot of sports channels and QVC.
The shopping channels. Yeah, I know people that love those shopping channels and watch it all day long.
Oh, my mother used to love QVC.
And then they call me and ask how good that computer is. It's crap. Don't buy it. it's 3 years old.
But it's only $150.
Yeah.
A month. Yeah,
it was discontinued 5 years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
No, it's like I've been saying a long time ago. It would be nice if you can sit there, which it's coming to, that I could go on to, say, a website and say, okay, I want this station or this channel. I want this channel. And go right down the list and only pay, you know, like they give you packages, say 20 channels, 30 channels, 40 channels, and you could go in there and pick those 20 that you want or 30.
Well, that's what Verizon has said that they want to do. But the problem is, if the ESPN is worried that not enough people are going to pick them and they're going to lose revenue.
Oh, well.
And they just don't want that. And so consequently, they're suing Verizon.
They want to be bundled in, even though...
They want to be bundled whether you watch them or not.
ESPN is part of the Sling bundle. So it looks like even the cord cutters who are trying to watch stuff over the internet, you get Sling even if you don't want it.
Well, the problem is...
I'm sorry, from Sling, you get ESPN even if you don't. That's right. Because you want AMC and you want A&E and you want history... ESPN is there too.
And the deal is ESPN is not stupid, and what ESPN is realizing is that everybody wants them to be available, right? So if I'm Sling, I want to be able to offer ESPN and ESPN too. But what ESPN is saying, you don't get to offer us separately. We must be in every bundle if you want us at all. Because then they get money no matter what bundle gets sold. And just because I'm not a sports nut, or I like sports they don't show, you know, if I'm into Aussie rules football or rugby, I'll find ways to watch that.
Curling. But we need a curling channel.
We need a curling channel. But there's no way to get that on ESPN. You're not going to see it on ESPN.
Yeah, the Rochester Curling Club. All right.
Yep. the issue there is ESPN is just looking again because you know they don't their shareholders will be
and
upset,
and it's only going to start a snowball effect. All the other channels. Well, then we want to be included.
Yep.
And then we want to be included. If they got it, that because if you do it for one, then they got it. You can't.
Sports is such a powerhouse in this country that ESPN has the clout to say, if you want us at all, you put us in every bundle and pay us.
Mm-hmm.
And I do get that. I mean, I get it. You know, they're only doing what they have to do to keep making money for their constituents, for their shareholders. But it's the rest of us who pay for it, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's just...
And whoever's calling now is probably saying, I love my sports.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah, we know a lot of people love sports. It's just those of us that don't watch a lot of sports, I wouldn't mind not paying for the channel I never watch.
That's right. And I'm not saying people shouldn't pay for sports.
The irony is you most of your remote controls have a favorites list.
Yeah.
So I've got like 20 favorites out of my 1,000 channels.
Only 20? Piker.
Yeah. But I got 1,000 channels to choose from, and I hardly ever watch any of them.
I hardly ever watch any of the channels that I'm paying for.
What's
you don't have 1,000. You have 300 channels
that get repeated.
All repeated three times.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
when Time Warner tells me you've got 1,000 channels, I laugh.
Yeah. No. No way.
The channel number goes to 10,000.
Right.
Yeah. But now when my wife and I argue about what the favorite channel should be, because I have my favorites, she has her favorites, and then there's some overlap. So we need two different remotes with two different favorites.
Right.
No, multiple lists.
Well, multiple
his list, her list.
No, not two different remotes. You need two different cable boxes.
Cable boxes, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm arguing with myself about getting the new cable box. The new cable box, supposedly Time Warner, in April, is releasing the 6-channel 1 terabyte cable box. that was the story in March, and now we're May, and it didn't happen yet.
Holy moly, and what's that going to cost?
Supposedly, it was like $3 more than the current box, it's 30 hours, which is a 500 meg drive, I think.
Right.
Or no, 80 meg drive, it's a tiny drive. Yeah, so 6 channels and a terabyte, but then the DVR is still always full.
It's probably 200 hours or something like that. Well, your DVR is always full, mine's only about 50%. The problem is, I got to replace mine anyway because there's a bad spot in it, and if I
spin ride it, pull the drive out and run spin ride on it.
I absolutely could.
It fixes DVR.
Well, but if I have to bring it in and exchange it, if I can exchange it,
you lose
it for
everything
terabyte,
that's on there.
Oh, yeah, I know, that's
the problem.
That's the problem. But if I can exchange it for a terabyte drive, I got to exchange it anyway.
Yeah.
If I wait long enough and just exchange it for the higher end.
Now, how bad am I? I don't have neither.
I understand that.
I just do on demand. It's got the programs I want to see.
Well, how do you remember what programs you want to see? That's the DVR remembers for me.
No, and I know I don't need that. I know I don't need it.
I could have a list next to the TV.
Well, no, but I remember what I want. I'm not yet senile enough that I don't. But I am so used to DVRing things that I just don't think about it.
We still call it taping. I have to stop myself. I'm not taping it. I'm recording it.
Right. And my wife went through this whole thing. She wants we've got a TV downstairs. She wants to put cable on. I said, and she said, I don't think we can afford it. Blah, blah. I said, why don't we just move the box from upstairs to downstairs? She said, what? What?
Yeah.
I said, Amelia doesn't watch that television anymore, so there's a box that nobody uses. We move it downstairs.
You move it, you'll find out how much she watches it.
No, I already told her. I already told her. All right, that's it. We're done for another week. I want to thank everyone who called in. I apologize to those to whom we did not get. Seriously, call earlier next time. We can't take a call at 1 minute left in the show. But we want to thank everyone who called in, and we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, I have no idea how much time I have left. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we'll be back in just 166 hours with Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening. See you next week.